Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. But I am not in Israel today. I am in Washington, D.C. It is March 20th, 2016, and I'm here at the APAC conference, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, America's pro-Israel lobby. I was here over Shabbat, which was really, really interesting. Great people that were here Friday and Saturday. And now it's Sunday morning, bright and early on a miserably cloudy and cold Washington day. But thousands and thousands of people are going to be here. They're walking in as I'm looking around. Jews, Christians, Muslims, people who care about Israel, people who very much care about the America-Israel relationship, understand the necessity of strengthening the ties, that Israel's interests are also America's interests. Nothing to be taken for granted in these days where the world is like kind of like falling off the edge. So I am so happy because I'm sitting here with Farhana Rahman, who is, first of all, a beautiful young woman. But thanks so much for joining me here, Farhana.
It's an absolute honor. Thank you.
So Farhana and I met up this morning because she has become somewhat of a, I don't know, of a celebrity, but people are considering her very brave, Muslim young woman, beautiful Muslim young woman, who has actually had the temerity to come out and publicly state her love for Israel and the Jewish people. And she doesn't know what is going on. So Farhana, tell us a little bit about like how you ended up at APAC. How's your life changed in the last few months?
Well, I was brought up in a Jewish neighborhood, first of all. A lot of people are under the impression that I only recently became a Muslim Zionist. That's not the case. I was always one because of all the Jewish friends that I had growing up and Jewish teachers. Everyone was always fantastic and inspirational. And these were all people with very strong ties to Israel. They weren't necessarily like strictly American Jews without any ties. So that was just always normal for me. And I've also worked with Israeli startups as a marketer for many years now, about 6 or 7 or so. So I was always involved, let's say. So it's nothing new. And I also always took part in causes for the Jewish community. But what actually, my actual claim to fame is a recent Facebook post I've written after my second trip to Israel, in which I detailed solidarity, how Israel is misrepresented in the media, and a lot of items. And people just loved it. People gobbled it to bits. The shares, the translations, the articles that came out of it—it was all so much, and which is very surprising to me. So I just decided to leverage all that came out of that by coming to APAC because there are a lot of friends I made from it, and they're all here. So I was like, this is my chance to meet with them.
You know, hearing you speak, it's just so normal. I mean, there's no reason why Muslims and Jews can't be friends. But that's happening here in America, in New York, where people can do what they do, you know, freedom of religion, go to their church, their mosque, their synagogue, whatever it is. Is the feedback that you're getting, the positive feedback that you're getting, from other Muslims as well, or just from Jews and from Christians?
To be honest, surprisingly so. Like I'm not surprised that the Jewish community around the world is loving it and thanking me for my efforts. And I mean, that doesn't surprise me. But as the popularity started growing, I started getting a little scared, naturally, thinking, okay, what if death threats come my way or something from Muslims? But you know what? That has not happened at all. I didn't receive any scary kind of message or any kind of threat or anything from the Muslim community at all. To the contrary, there are a lot of Muslim Zionists that are stepping up and messaging me saying, oh my God, thank you, sister. You are our voice. We should all join forces and spread the truth. And I'm like, what? Like, you guys really exist? Stop being silent. So, yeah, that's what's going on, actually.
It's so great, first of all, to talk to you and also to hear that you're not alone in your community, that there are other Muslim Zionists. Sometimes I think the Jews, not just in Israel, but Jews in general, feel a little bit lonely when it comes to other people in the world. And with all that's going on in the political realm, with how Christians and Jews are being persecuted, you know, all over the Muslim world, then we start feeling like it's just not compatible. You know, people of other religions, we're just not going to get along. And here you're saying that you've seen past all that, and you've seen what Israel and what the Jewish people have done for the world. And what's the difference, like what religion we are? It's, you know, it's good people connecting with other good people. And it makes me sad that you told me before, like some people say that you're brave.
Yeah, absolutely. It really doesn't make sense to me when people are thanking me for my bravery. I'm like, bravery? I mean, IDF soldiers are brave. I can't be put in that kind of category. All I'm doing is just being honest. And I'm being honest, and I guess I am at a benefit because I'm based in New York, after all, and it's just more of a melting pot there. So maybe I'm lucky in that sense because, I mean, I'm not really speaking out for Jews like smack in the middle of Saudi Arabia or anything. So, I mean, that would have been brave. So I'm just, I guess, at the right place at the right time. And the reception has been amazing. But yeah, the Muslim Zionists, I mean, I've been getting messages from all over the world, including like smack in the middle of Gaza and parts of Algeria and, I mean, all these places. And they tell me that they would love to be more vocal, but whenever they start a conversation that could lead towards Muslim Zionism at all or towards solidarity at all, that threats start coming their way and people start threatening their families and they didn't even start anything. So that's why they are silent, but it's going to change. I see change slowly happening, little by little.
Do you really see change happening? Because there's so much intimidation going on, as you just you just described yourself, that in the States where people can say what they want to say, people are free to do that, Muslim Zionists in America. But the Arabs in Gaza, for example, and we know in Israel, I know personally many Muslims in Israel who understand they really are Muslim Zionists and they're living in Zion, they're living in Israel, and they understand how much better they have it there than almost anywhere in the world. But very few of them feel free enough to stand up and say so because their own community will then, you know, hurt them even. Or you said, you know, yourself, you're worried about death threats. How do you think it's going to change? How do you think that attitude of not being afraid in terms, you know, Muslims within the Muslim world, not being afraid to stand up and say, there's a truth here that's just not being exposed and we want to expose it?
Well, it's certainly not going to be a quick change. I think it'll take a good few generations because we have to wait for some of the crazies to die out. We have to wait for the Muslim Zionists to procreate and promote love and teach their children to love. But there's also what gives them the voice right now, which they weren't able to do before, is the fact that, I mean, we have all these, we have online media, we have social media. There are many ways that people could share their thoughts. They could be anonymous if they would like, but people could easily be more vocal now. Like a lot of these Muslim Zionists that I'm talking about, they message me through their actual accounts, but they also have a lot of these alias accounts online, which can't really be traced back to them in their communities. So that's what's giving them this voice, and they're able to band together and be like, yes, this is the change that's needed. This is what needs to be said. And they try to make a difference in their communities in their own ways, as I did in the past also. So if everyone just does this little by little, and if everyone just teaches their children little by little, I think in a good few generations there would be a dramatic change compared to what has been the case for like eons.
You know, it's great to hear you say a few generations because so many of us in the West want things to change now, you know, like right away, and things have to change. And you're right, there are certain attitudes and certain beliefs that are going to take a long time to change, but you have to start somewhere. And what you're doing here, and the more Muslim Zionists there are, the safer you all are when it really becomes like a large movement, then you will be safe. Of course, like, you know, the big question, the big elephant in the room is, can we all hang on, you know, and keep ourselves safe from the extremists while we all work towards that better tomorrow that I also do believe will eventually happen. But it's kind of like between here and there is what makes everyone nervous. So last week I met with some campus kids, some Jews who are working on campuses. I was up in Montreal and had Shabbat dinner with about 18 activists on Concordia and McGill who are having a really hard time. As I'm sure you know, the campuses have just become a hotbed of anti-Israel activity and just, you know, real intimidation. Anybody who's pro-Israel has a very hard time making their voice heard in any way on campuses. Have you been approached to speak on campuses? Is it something that you want to do, thinking about? Like, where do you want to go with this?
So I have been approached about it, actually, and I am certainly thinking about it. I don't want to say no, but I also don't want to say yes just yet. I'm trying to test grounds first. I mean, of course, as with all the other Muslim Zionists, safety is my number one concern, and also safety of my family. Then again, I mean, the campuses in the States, at least, I'm sure won't not too much crazy would come out from here as it would in a lot of Muslim countries. So I'm definitely thinking about it and leaning towards yes. So yeah, I'm looking at my options.
Okay. Farhana Rahman, thank you so much for, you know, it's almost absurd that we should even be having this conversation. You know, beautiful Muslim girl who has Jewish friends, who loves Israel, who works for an Israeli startup, who's gone to visit the country. This shouldn't be news. No offense, you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And it was great to meet you. But this shouldn't be a big deal. The fact that it's a big deal, I think says something, says a lot about where we are right now. But if you keep doing what you're doing and you get others, you know, you've started something. It takes someone to start something. And maybe this is what you're supposed to be doing right now. And I'm very appreciative. I'm really grateful that you took some time to talk to me today. And I know that you've got lots of friends waiting to meet you here today at APAC. And the next time you come to Israel, I would love to take you around. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Hi, everybody. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. I am at APAC, March 20th, 2016. Great feeling here, great vibe. Jews, non-Jews from all over the place, people who care about Israel, who care about the American-Israeli relationship, and who care about the Jewish people. And so crazy thing happens last night as Shabbat is going out, and I go into a room to have the Havdalah experience, the ceremony that we have that brings us from the holy into the mundane week with the candle and the spices. And I'm sitting by myself, and this lovely woman just comes to sit next to me. Susan. Say hi.
Hey.
Susan comes. We connect just on a totally other plane, and it turns out that she is here for the Jewish Women's Renaissance Project, which is an organization that I've heard a lot about and that I'm going to be privileged to guide in the summer. I don't know. Hashem is like everywhere. God is just like the funniest thing. He's definitely here at APAC. So now I'm sitting here with Lori Palatnik, who is the founding director of Jewish Women's Renaissance Project. Lori, what an honor to meet you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Just the funniest thing. So tell us, what is the Jewish Women's Renaissance Project?
Well, the Jewish Women's Renaissance Project was started in 2008 by 8 women in the Washington, D.C. area. Very eclectic group of women. Half were very left, staunch Democrats. Half were very right, staunch Republicans. Half were Shomer Shabbat, Sabbath observant. Half were not. And we got together. I gathered them together, and we actually went away to Utah because one of the women owns a beautiful place in Utah.
Oh, well, that's why we have to have a meeting in Utah. Yeah.
Now we're known as the Utah Eight, and the Utah Eight got together to try to come up with an idea to have a huge global impact on the Jewish people. Why the Jewish people? Not just because we're Jews. And why women? Not just because we're women. Because we're taught that the Jewish people are Or Legoyim, a light unto the nations. That the Jewish people are a beacon of values that will emanate and all nations will rise. And so the idea is, how can we make that happen?
Right.
So we targeted the Jewish woman.
Why?
Because if you inspire a woman, you inspire a family.
So true.
You know, I believe in all the programs for young professionals and all the programs for high school and for students. But I found more and more after I spoke at Yale and American University and Penn and Brown that if you inspire a 22-year-old boy, you inspire a 22-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a 17-year-old sister and a 14-year-old brother and parents. But if you can inspire the Jewish mother, you inspire the whole family.
Well, so what is your background? How did you get into this?
So my background, I was born in Toronto. I was one of 4 kids, and we were, you know, those twice a year going to synagogue Jews. It was going to synagogue was Simon Says, so that your goal was not to be sitting when they're standing and not to be standing when they're sitting. But really, you should understand why you're standing. Mm-hmm. My brother's bar mitzvahs were more bar than mitzvah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really going to Israel as a young adult in my early 20s that awakened something within me, and I wanted to know more.
Soul, huh?
Yes, I started to study. And to find out what was this connection, what am I feeling here? And it turns out that my Jewish heritage is filled with wisdom about how to choose the right person to marry, how to have a great marriage, how to raise great children. The Torah, the Bible, is filled with wisdom that's relevant for our life today.
Which is, it sounds so funny because it was written so long ago, but it happens to be the most amazing book ever written.
about how to behave with each other, not
it's
just with God.
It's the instruction manual. Yes. God put us into this world, and he gave us a book of instructions.
That's right.
You know what happens when we don't read the instructions?
Yeah, okay. You plug into the wrong outlet.
Right, and you mess up.
And you mess up.
So but unfortunately, it was presented to us, especially growing up Jewish, as dusty Bible stories, men in robes walking through sand dunes.
Irrelevant to the modern world.
Right. So what we created, these eight women in Utah, is we came up with this idea. And we created the Jewish Women's Renaissance Project, and we brainstormed on how we can fulfill the mission of empowering Jewish women to change the world. And we came up with many, many ideas, and we advocated for those ideas, and three ideas rose to the top. This was one of three. This idea of bringing women on a highly subsidized trip to Israel for 8 days to have a profound transformational experience, to inspire them with Jewish values, and to go home and bring that inspiration to their homes and take responsibility in their communities. The first year, we brought 300 women from North America. It was Canada, the United States, and Mexico. The next year, it took off. This idea took off like a rocket. It hit. It was a bullseye. Right. Yeah. Everybody's like, you're right. It's the Jewish mother. She's
right.
The most important
like a
person.
Birthright for Jewish women?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the most important person in the family, and she was the most underserved. So the next year, we brought 600 women. Then we brought 900. Then we brought 1,000. And then in the year 2014, the Israeli government came to us, the
wow.
Ministry of Diaspora Affairs, and they heard about us. And we had a series of meetings, and then we created a partnership. They said, double your numbers and get into Eastern Europe. And suddenly we had women. I traveled to Eastern Europe and to Russia and to Germany and to Hungary. And we have women coming. This year we have women coming from Cuba and from Mumbai and from Central America. And from South America. This went from a project to a movement. And we just signed a contract with the Israeli government. And they are committing $5.1 million over the next 2 years to bring 7,000 participants over the next 2 years from 24 different countries.
So what are the criteria to come on one of the trips?
So for a woman, it is you cannot be Shomer Shabbat.
Can't be Sabbath observant.
Cannot be Sabbath observant.
Okay.
Why? Because we feel that if you're Sabbath observant, of course you need inspiration and connection. But chances are your kids are in Jewish school. You have a certain Jewish background. You have
you're
a Jewish commitment.
Involved in the
Jewish mm-hmm. So we're not as worried about you. This trip is really designed for a woman that without this trip, she and her family are falling off the Jewish map and falling off the Jewish community and for generations to come.
And if we're not involved with our Jewish values, we can't help the world because that's where we draw our strength from.
Exactly. And these values are for the world.
Right.
And the Jewish people are supposed to be that example.
Right.
When it says we're the chosen people, it doesn't mean we're better. It means we're chosen for a responsibility.
Yes,
this is our responsibility.
All
this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. But we need to know our own values and our own Bible in order to be able to
exactly.
do
exactly. And I'm not a patient person. And the fastest way to make this happen is through the Jewish mother. Because there are 90% also of criteria for the 90% of the women who come must have children at home under the age of 18,
mm-hmm.
and they have to be physically and emotionally healthy. Those are really the three criteria.
Okay.
Non-Sabbath observant. All right.
Single moms or just someone in
can
a
be
couple
single
relationship?
Moms? Sure
can
be single moms.
Okay.
15% of our women are single moms. They're
okay.
either divorced or widowed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But they're all moms.
They're all moms.
And these women are unbelievable, and when they come back, they literally come back on fire. It's really.
I'm looking at some of your stats.
Yeah,
insane. 99% are saying that they connect more to Judaism now, and that they feel more involved, that they feel more empowered to be Jewish women. You never see numbers like that on anything.
Our data shows, we just did a survey about our alumni. So from the year 2009 to 2014, 76% of them are still involved with the local organization who recruited them because we do everything in partnership. We have 149 partner organizations around the world. They range from an outreach kollel to a synagogue to a JCC to a federation to a
yeah. something involved with Jewish life.
Right, and if you're doing work in the Jewish community, we'll take you from good to great or from great to awesome just by partnering with us. The trip is a free trip, not including airfare. We put in 85% of the money, the JWRP,
mm-hmm.
and the local organization puts in 15%. The woman pays her airfare, and that's our partnership, and that's how we make it happen.
And she gets an eight-day experience in Israel.
Yes.
What's your feedback on her kids? So she comes home. Let's say she comes home. She's had this really life-changing experience in Israel, which, as a tour guide, I know that Israel just, you do not get back on the plane the same person as when you got off the plane. It's amazing. So she comes back, and what can she now give to her kids? Do her kids then want to get more involved? What are you seeing? Do you have enough years of research on that?
We have data that shows that these women are going home and literally shifting their families in the right direction, putting on Jewish glasses and making decisions. Where do they go to school? Where we live and who we socialize with, based on looking through that lens and a lens of those values. So our data shows that women are a very significant portion of the kids are now no longer at public school, and they're putting them in Jewish schools. They're putting them into Jewish clubs. Mm-hmm. They're choosing colleges based on where is there a strong Hillel, where can they be Jewishly connected.
Celebrating Jewish holidays, bringing Jewish life into their home.
Holidays, home, education, volunteerism, tzedakah,
connecting
charity,
with their people. Connecting with their people.
I'm telling you, this is a game changer for them.
Lori, I'm just like, I mean, I was so excited about guiding the groups in the summer that's coming up anyway, but now meeting you and just feeling your enthusiasm and meeting Susan and seeing these other women that are also involved, and men, by the way, also involved. Do you have men in the organization?
Yeah, so now we do men's trips.
Okay.
Because from the first year, the women were like, my husband has to hear this, my husband has to see this. And then I went back to my board of directors and they said, Lori, we're a women's organization, focus. And then we started hearing from our partnering organization saying, we're having trouble engaging the husbands when the women come home. And then we started hearing from the husbands. They said, Lori, we are behind our wives. Please help us do something for us. So now we have husband's trips, the men's trips, because our trip is called Momentum. The mom is when it's the women's trip is highlighted, and the men of Momentum is when the men come.
Wow.
And it really, the men's trips are a blow away because the women are literally pushing their husbands out the door. Go to Israel.
Right.
Learn about our heritage. Connect.
Right.
And when they come back and the mother and father are both on the same page, not only transforms their marriage,
family.
It transforms the family.
Well, and of course the kids, which is the whole point. Because Judaism is all about family.
Right.
The Talmud
actually says, raise your child with one voice.
Yeah.
One voice. They should be on the same page.
Yeah. Well, yours is one heck of a voice. I see the wonder on your face that you're doing this. Because you're like, what's going on here? How did I get chosen to be able to bring, as you were, yourself said, you were somehow chosen and brought into the Jewish world, and you're sharing that gift now with other people.
Everybody who works on this, everybody who works with us, our professional staff, our board, our partners, we all feel that it is a privilege, literally a privilege and an honor to be part of this. It's so big. We're so small in the face of what's going on. The best advice I got when I started this project was from my friend Barry Fouch. She lives in Cleveland. She said, Lori, just don't get in God's way.
Right. And some people get in their own way, and that's
not
something you're doing.
Our stuff gets in God's way. Our own insecurities, our own fears, our own worries,
our
the social pressure. Just the Almighty wants something to happen, and we feel privileged to be part of it.
Look, there's something like an 80-90% intermarriage rate, assimilation rate, in certain cities in the United States.
Well, if you take the Pew report that came out a few years ago, if you take out the Orthodox community, the intermarriage rate is 72.6%.
Right.
That means you have four kids, three of them are intermarried.
Right.
So, and again, Jews don't leave Judaism because of what they know. They leave because of what they don't know.
Yeah.
If they only knew
the throne,
our
the
history,
tremendous gift,
our wisdom, our responsibility, they wouldn't.
Or they're misinformed.
For
or they've heard about Judaism or met Jews who don't really reflect the essence of what it is.
We have bad tapes in our heads. We have this is materialistic, or this is like a social thing, or this is like a jappy thing, or this is like what is going
on? Sunday morning.
Yeah, bagels, lox, and cream cheese.
And
that's
fasting
us.
Some weird day once a year. Yeah.
So it's really, this empowers women with knowledge and inspires them to share this knowledge. And a woman is smart. She knows, she looks at everybody in her family as an individual. How do I inspire that individual? Men often, they parent across the board. Here's the rules for everybody. But no, you have to see each one as an individual. Some child needs a harder hand, some needs a softer hand. Some need more structure, some need more freedom. So she's able to take these values and share it with her husband and her children in a way that they can hear it.
It's a beautiful thing. It's really bringing Jesus.
The ROI, the return on the investment, is huge.
Oh,
you invest in a Jewish mother,
it's incalculable.
Yes.
For
I would love for you to meet a woman who is
Let's
on a trip.
It.
Mara.
I'm seeing you, Orna from Pesach.
Mara, come on over.
Mara. This is Mara.
In case you just tuned in, and I don't know why you would just tune in the middle of a podcast, but just in case you just tuned in, this is Eve Harrell. I'm at APAC, March 20th, 2016, meeting awesome, awesome people. And as part of that, interviewing Lori Palachnik from the Jewish Women's Renaissance Project. And now we are with Mara. Hi, Mara.
Hi, how are you, Eve?
I'm great. So how are you involved in this wonderful organization?
I had the privilege of being part of a JWRP trip this past October 2015.
Okay. Where are you from? Where
Dallas, Texas.
And how was it?
It was life-changing.
In what way?
In that I'm here at the APAC conference because Israel is a very important part of our lives at home. We greatly understand the importance of the U.S.-Israel relationship to both Israel and the United States' safety. But from a religious standpoint, I am, as Lori had said earlier, a twice-a-year Jew. We go at Rosh Hashanah and we go at Yom Kippur. And my although my children are in day school, we celebrate Sabbath light. Mm-hmm. We do our candles and our challah and our blessings, and then everyone goes their own way.
Right.
And I felt
and then it's a day like any other.
Right. And then it's a day like any other. And I felt that we had made this commitment to day school and to raise Jewish children and to be an active, constructive part of the Jewish community. However, the practice was lacking. Mm-hmm. And so I thought a JWRP trip would be a great opportunity to learn more about the practice of Judaism from a Torah standpoint.
Right. And to have the trip in Israel, which is like, which is a Jewish country where you're seeing the past, the present, the future in front of you, then I think that that's kind of like the pot
it
to cook this all
you
in.
And you're absolutely right about all that. It gives you an incredible opportunity to connect, to learn to love Israel in context.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what you, anything, and in any form of education, anything, everything is enhanced by a hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when you touch ground, from the moment you touch ground, Lori and JWRP has planned a trip that attaches itself to every one of the five senses.
Right.
You taste Israel, you touch it, you feel it, you hear it, you smell it, and you leave loving it.
You also, I would imagine, meet other Jewish women from all the whole spectrum.
Well, that's what makes the trip so incredible. When you look at it, there are many opportunities to travel to Israel.
What
creates such a special environment, JWRP creates such a special environment because it is open and it embraces women across the spectrum of Judaism, every ethnicity. Every denomination,
level of observance, belief,
wherever you are on that spectrum, there is a place for you on a JWRP trip. And
amazing.
Everybody leaves with common ground. No matter where you started, when you embarked, 9 days later, you leave with common ground, a love for Israel that you never knew you could have, and a relationship with women throughout the country who you can turn to for support and friendship.
Right.
So it's
there's nothing like women's friendship.
There's
really
nothing
isn't.
Like women's friendship, and there's nothing like the friendship of women with whom you've had a shared experience that's changed
I know.
Your life.
Right.
And I see it as a continuum trip. You have your Continuum Israel programs, such as Birthright, BBYO, March of the Living, Birthright Israel when you get to college. You have the Hillel experience in college. You have gap years. But then for women, you have this. And then we raise our children to circle back around and engage in those programs. So it's a beautiful addition to the continuum of Jewish continuity.
It sounds absolutely fabulous.
Absolutely fabulous.
And I see on your face, that just like, and I didn't know you before, but I just see your enthusiasm and you seem also very calm and at peace and very happy with where you are right now.
I'm so happy with where I am, and I know that going forward, I'll just build on it and grow and add to what I've learned. I know your listeners cannot see me. I was raised Reform in New York City. My husband and I are affiliated with a conservative synagogue. This trip is for everyone. It's for everyone who wants to peel back the layers of who they've become and grow into who they're meant to be.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. And your children are the biggest beneficiaries as well. Yeah, and it's all about the family.
So,
well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the interview.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about the trip. It was so meaningful to me, and I can't leave without thanking Lori for what she's created and the generous, generous donors and individuals who support the trip and make it possible for all of us to go.
Well, I know that there's other people here who are meeting you guys and saying, how can I be a part of this? Because this is an investment in the Jewish future like very few other things are.
It is one of the most important investments in Jewish future. As Lori said, you change a mom, you change a family, you change a family, you change a community. And with a community, you change a world.
That's right. Got to start from somewhere. Yeah. That's where the Jewish people are, this little tiny people that somehow have this ripple effect. It's an incredible thing to be a part of.
We're the stone in the pond.
Yeah, always. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Enjoy the conference.
And thank you. You too.
My pleasure. Eve Harrow, ending this portion of my APAC interviews, the Jewish Women's Renaissance Project. Much more to come. Can't wait to get out there. Bye, everybody, for now.
Thank you.